July afternoons at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series. Hurry in for your last chance to get employee pricing for all during the Great American Sales Event. A great American just strolled through the studio door here. Ted Johnson in a flowery shirt. How are we doing today, Mr. Johnson?
I'm good, boys. I like you describing me that way.
Hey, you're a great American. Plus, you had your America shirt on yesterday. Yeah. We're heading towards 4th of July. It's a great time to be alive.
One of my favorite all-time holidays.
Me too. It's definitely top three for me.
Without question.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, 4th of July. Those are the big three.
I almost couldn't. Don't think I'd disagree.
Yeah.
I put it right there. So feeling like all you boys, you know, kind of just high on life.
Yeah, other than the Red Sox stink right now, it's good to be alive and at Fenway Park.
No doubt.
So hopefully they turn that around.
And
we also
right now.
And right now they got a 6-game losing streak, I believe, or 5-game.
That's not great.
But they also had a 5-game losing streak as well. So this will be their longest losing streak if they happen to lose today. But
they're not going to.
The thing about this team, there's still compelling storylines, even though the record is what it is. And I think they're still a kind of fun, fascinating, compelling team to watch, regardless of what the record says.
Yeah, especially Fitzy, for those of us that wanted to see guys like Mayer, who unfortunately, Dan Ball told us, has been placed on bereavement leave, Marcelo Meyer. Roman Anthony, like those of us that wanted to see young players, even Brian Bayo is not an old guy. Rafael has turned things around lately. He's a guy that some people wanted to get rid of. Now he's one of your hottest hitters. If you ask like I did for the youth movement, well, you got to be willing to take the lumps that sometimes come with a youth movement. So that's where we are. And they might turn a corner.
Gave up on that youth movement because you already traded one of them away, right?
Wait a minute. Did I give up on him or did they?
Well, they did. First and you second.
You know what happened?
You get a lot of crap, so people understand. You basically told the Red Sox to trade Christian Campbell.
So Christian Campbell and I, there's something very different about us. Not at height or athletic ability or ability to play baseball or anything.
All right, I'm at
Fenway Park today, and he's in Worcester. So that's very different. He is not at Fenway Park anymore. So out of sight, out of mind. I didn't turn my back on him. The organization did. But it's 3:00. Ted Johnson's here. Fitzy's here. Hart's here. It's time for the 3-point stance.
19!
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A 3-run homer and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
As a large group of individuals, all wearing green Red Sox shirts, walk by the WEEI studios here at Fenway Park and have very limited interest in what we're doing here in this room. It is time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, which is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you get to be at Fenway and not down in Worcester, suck at Christian Campbell, you got to get Glassman. You can call all sevens at 617-777-7777. As it is 3:00 here on WEEI Afternoons, we have three hosts, each of which will present their stance on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Each host will get 60 seconds to present their opening stance, after which we will open up for discussion and debate on each and every one. Our order today is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy-Stevens, then Ted Johnson. Andy, you will lead us off. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
I'm fascinated to see how many words you can get into a 60-second span today. I'll give you those 60 seconds, and they start right now.
I'm going to pace myself, slow it down a bit. But
I'm sure.
I think the NBA has some of the greatest athletes on the planet. I mean, if we look at it and say there's guys that are 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", 7'2", doing some of the things they do is remarkable. And yet, for some reason, with bigger, stronger, faster, better athletes, I don't feel like they are maximizing their opportunities to take over the sports world. I know the NFL is the king, but I look at the NBA. The NBA draft, I only saw portions of it, but all I saw was negative responses to the coverage, the product, the whole thing. The finals, I think there were two fun teams that didn't seem to really catch the interest of the sports world. The slam dunk contest, 3-point contest, and All-Star Weekend. When I was Lil Fat Andy, I watched every minute of it. All I hear now is complaints about All-Star Weekend and all those things that take place. I don't know exactly what the solution is, but we say baseball struggles to market themselves. I feel like the NBA has gone in that direction where they are not maximizing their personalities and their talents the way they should these days.
Interesting.
Okay. So your major overall point of all that is to say what?
They are missing the mark with their marketing opportunities and taking advantage of the greatest athletes on the planet. Baseball has an issue. Okay, I don't think they have great athletes.
So So you're using their physique to highlight something that they could, you know, use to their benefit to market in their game.
Okay. Well,
but Tatum sub has bacon.
Tatum sub has bacon, and yet the NBA,
I think
is doing what they should be doing. And so, they have great personalities, too. You know, people always said, oh, Mike Trout's boring. He likes the weather or whatever. Like, the NBA has great personalities. You hear some of these guys. You see some of these families and the different things that go on in the background.
I wonder. Yeah, you know what? This is interesting. I wonder if they all have, because of their own social media and their own platforms, that
maybe
that they don't do maybe what, you know, what's in best for the league,
maybe
doing what's best for their own personal
brand. Maybe. I just, if I'm Adam Silver, I'm a little bit worried that we're not sort of hitting the strikes that are right down the middle right now. We're kind of fouling off some pitches.
I mean, their TV product is such a fascinating thing to examine right now, because it very much is about the individuals on, like, your panels, so to speak. They had Stephen A. Smith, they had Kendrick Perkins, and then you have the Inside the NBA crew. Everybody talks about what those guys have to say more than they actually talk about the subjects that they're talking about.
It's a great point.
Players, the team.
Shaq and Charles Barkley are more popular than just about every player they talk about.
Right, and that's not a really sustainable dynamic for a league, I would imagine, if your studio personalities are more popular than some of your biggest stars.
I'm very worried about you with what you're saying.
Well, I mean, Stephen A. Smith's histrionics are so far over the top that he's got, like, the greatest case of look at me-ism, I think, in all of mainstream media right now, which is maddening to me. You may also just have a generational issue where you haven't drawn a lot of magnetic personalities. Not everyone can be like Mike. Not everybody is Shaq. LeBron has been over-marketed around the entire world. There just may not be some guys that they can take advantage of the same way that they've been able to ride the coattails of some of these greater personalities recently, because, I mean, I get plenty of, I hear Draymond Green and people are on the shop, and there's so much media product out there from the NBA these days. Maybe it's just not for us. Maybe we're just older folk that don't really care for the way that they're peddling their product these days.
You know, another thing the NBA is not happy with is you talk about the studio show guys being more popular than the actual players they cover, which is true. But they also are guys that are very critical of the league and the players. Like, they, you know, they basically, you know, were mocking the two teams that were in the finals. Yep. And so, you know, that's not everybody being on the same page, obviously. And I think that, to some degree, you know, hurts the brand and hurts kind of what you're suggesting, Andy, that they try and get to.
And just to throw this in before we move on, like, the Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese rivalry and what it's done to the WNBA, percentage-wise, I think they are taking better advantage of sort of what they have to work with than the NBA is right now. But Fitz, you stumbled on something there. I mean, Jason Tatum and SGA, great players, right? All NBA, an MVP, a champion in back-to-back years. I don't know if any of us find them like, ooh, I got to see what he says or does, or like,
they're
they
not
go
personalities.
About their, no, they go about their business being good basketball players.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
they're not Mahomes. They're not Josh Allen. They're not something like, who do you really want to see Jake from State Farm in an ad with SGA? I'm good.
I really don't know anything about SGA. That's another thing. Like, other than I saw a little build up during the finals, and he seems like
he's in Oklahoma,
a nice guy. He doesn't party, so the team doesn't party. They're all kind of falling in line behind him. Everybody loves him, but like, he seems almost Mike Troutish. Like, he just, I'm going to show up and be a really great generational talent, but other than that, you're on your own. I'm not a marketer.
Which is great for your local market, and I think Boston people really probably enjoy the fact that Jason Tatum is very similar. Like, there isn't a lot of off-court antics that you need to worry about.
Right.
But in the same vein, when you were talking about one of your biggest stars, a face of the league that we talk about, LeBron James was in Cleveland. That's not a massive market by any stretch of the imagination, but we knew everything about LeBron on court and off. And so I'll ask you to start as we talk about some of the stars outside of, say, LeBron and Steph Curry, your veterans that have been around there for a while. Who's the who's the person, the biggest personality in the NBA? Who's the guy that either, whether you love him or you hate him, you cannot stop watching blank in the NBA?
Oh, man. It's
hard to answer at this point, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's not obviously Halliburton. Is it Mitchell, you know, in Cleveland?
Right.
Ant.
Ant-Man in Minnesota. So
I have a theory when Ted's done as well.
You also lost some opportunities. Like, I think Ja Morant was going in that direction, and then he started playing pistols and clubs, and that kind of went off the thing. Or Zion Williamson he was a bigger star coming out of college than he is now.
Yep.
Yeah, and then he ate his way into irrelevance,
right,
Andy.
Right.
Is there like a void of the superstar in the Jason Tatum era, if you think about it? Like,
yeah.
A lot of the KD, LeBron, they're older stars aging out.
And superstars.
And then you talk about the other ones, right. Ant and, you know, SGA, and you go, well, they're still too young. I don't know anything about them. Right. Well, where's the Jason Tatums of the world in that 28 to 32 range that are our next, you know, superstars? They're right. not
They haven't
there.
Taken the torch. They haven't. Because there's little pot shots against Luka. Luka could be a guy or should be a guy who should be in that world, but he was traded and he's fat and he drinks and he's not this and he's never going to win. Well, he doesn't play.
I think that actually has a lot to do with it, fellas. I think one thing that has been mentioned, Bill Simmons has done a lot on this. Adam Silver would probably tell you this in private close quarters. The Euroification, if you will, of a lot of the stars in the NBA is becoming a marketing problem. Nikola Jokic doesn't want to do anything except go back and, you know, work his horse farm. Luka Doncic is not the easiest guy to market in the world. Giannis Antetokounmpo is a stunningly handsome, super fit, superhero looking guy, but it just doesn't translate the same way that KD, LeBron, and some of your other American stars do.
I'd say it's an excellent point, Fitzy. And who was the European point guard? I forget. He went to Minnesota, I believe.
Ricky Rubio.
Like
marquee good looks, but just didn't translate.
But and that, I think, proves your point. I thought he was going to be one of the biggest stars in the NBA. And never, ever did he come close to breaching those heights.
You know who's a really big star, Ted? I don't know what's going to happen with Wemby, and we hope that he's healthy. But remember, you know who they were able to do a bang-up job with? Yao Ming.
Can I write a check?
Oh, like
he went viral just for the simplest of things. Even George Murison had a freaking Billy Crystal movie. There's a dearth of relatable, accessible stars.
But China completely backed the Rockets in Yao. Like it was like an entire country getting on board with that player, Fitzy. But it's a great point to bring up.
We just had a good spitball marketing session for the NBA.
I'll throw one more factor out there.
I'll be honest, I thought your three-point, I was like,
you thought it was stupid. We haven't stopped talking about it yet. Yeah. We haven't even gotten to points two and three with you guys.
It turned out to be
I still haven't even given you crap for your
terrible
point either.
I want to throw one more thing in there very quickly, and I know we have two more to get to. There's also a really interesting age gap between the stars in the NBA right now. You have your Durants and your LeBrons that were drafted in the early and mid-2000s that are now in their late 30s and kind of aging out, and then you have your Tatum's, your Doncic's, SGA's, Wemby's, the guys that are in their mid-20s. You look at the first overall picks in that 2010s range, Anthony Bennett, Ben Simmons, Andrew Wiggins, Markelle Fultz, DeAndre Ayton, these superstar level, like first overall pick.
Right.
Who is
Hey man on the hype train?
Who are those stars that are right in their prime, late 20s, early to mid 30s, right in prime championship winning time in their careers that are the faces of the NBA? There isn't any. So it's either guys that are still kind of developing their stardom or guys that are aging out. There's really nobody in that sweet spot in the middle. Look at you, Andy Hart, bringing up
your welcome.
All right, Ted.
Okay, yes, sir. Is it my turn?
We will get to you in just a moment because I forgot how the order works on this segment. Fitzy, are you ready, my friend?
Yes, indeed, I am. Thank you, Dan.
All right, I wish I could say the same about myself, but here are 60 seconds that begin right now.
Splash of audio, Stanley, please.
Hey, everyone, good luck. Good luck, everyone, okay? Bring it home. Bring it home, boys, okay?
That's right. That is the Quincy PD loading up bus one earlier today for your two-time defending Major League Rugby champion New England Free Jacks, who are looking for the three-jack, the three-peat tomorrow as they take on The Houston SaberCats at Centerville
Says
Bank
here.
Stadium. In, I don't know the name of every team. I've been three times to see the Free Jacks, for Christ's sakes. I've invited you jackasses to come with me, and none of you went, and you've missed out on a damn good time. Everyone that is listening to me right now, if you're not a rugby fan and you've never watched and you can't make it down to Pawtucket tomorrow, the match is going to be on 2 p.m. tomorrow on ESPN2. As the New England Free Jacks, the best championship caliber team right now. They've won two championships in a row. The first 2 years they've been in Major League Rugby. Back to back, they've won the Champion Shield. They're going for the three-peat tomorrow, 2 o'clock on ESPN2. Or if you can, there's 10,500 seats at Centerville Bank Stadium in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. It's an awesome take. You don't even have to know crap about rugby. There's delicious food, rock and roll, lots of beer, and big dudes smashing other dudes. Huzzah, go Jacks.
You have to be an honorary captain for this event.
Yeah.
Are you not, Fitzy?
Coin toss.
No, Ted, it's just that, like, when you go someplace, it's probably happened to you at restaurants or events where somebody sees you, you're like, hey, you're Ted Johnson. And next thing you know, they bring you behind the kitchen or whatever, and they give you a free drink, and they make you feel like family. Going down there a couple times, bringing my kids, being welcomed into the stands with the fans, meeting the players, being taught the game a little bit. It's such a dynamic environment. And also, they're champions. They have won twice in a row. We don't pay any attention to it because rugby doesn't sell the same way that hockey, basketball, and, of course, actual football does. But it's a great take, and I think people are just whistling by what fun it is. And now you get a chance to hop on a fan wagon as a team strives for a third title in a row. Plus, there's football ties. The team is co-owned by Nate Ebner and Patrick Chung, guys.
Oh, he's such a homer. He's such a homer.
All right, here we go. We mock what we don't understand.
Always.
Good point.
Fitzy, I'm glad you brought this up as a Quincy guy on the show. I told you this. I was having a conversation with a friend's girlfriend, and I mentioned that I was living in Quincy, and that was the first thing that she went to. Oh, have you gone and see the Free Jacks yet?
Okay.
The fact that the sport is almost secondary to the folks that go. It's a gathering, the tailgates beforehand, the environment during the game, the music, the entertainment, and then the fact that everybody just kind of swarms the field after the fact. Like, there are so many other elements that I believe go into making this Fitzy an event much more than just a match.
I want to make sure also real quick.
Ever,
what's that, Ted?
This is the oddest segment ever and our topic ever, but I'm going to jump in and say I've been to one.
Oh, yeah.
And let's just keep it going. I think they're fun too. So
yes,
and they're marketing.
Go,
we're talking about marketing. Like, they're making the most out of what they. It's like Savannah Bananas.
No doubt.
They're marketing what they have. They're making
it an event.
This is the best three-point stance ever,
you boys. I'm telling you. It's great. It is. It's really
the bigger
something
clubs could learn something from them.
100%.
Yes, they can.
Like, engage with your fans. Like, it's supposed to be
fun. It's affordable. It's inexpensive. They do a great job marketing with the fans, Andy. They bring the people down onto the field afterwards to meet them. And yeah, the fact that they continue to win as well is a really big deal. So I hope people check them out tomorrow.
That's an interesting point that you bring up, too, and I don't think we have enough time for this because we got to get to Ted's. But
we got next segment. I need my own segment now.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. Teddy getting his own segment.
I'm getting my own segment. You're not squeezing me out here at the end. No.
I would actually love to see Dan Ball try to squeeze you out.
I got things to say.
I'm far too intimidated to do that.
That got octagonish.
You bring up something really interesting about being a fan right now. Being a fan makes me feel like a cash machine.
I hate it.
It's kind of unbelievable. Like, you go in and you have to budget for a night at insert name of sports venue here.
Yes.
Versus, hey, I'm just going, have a good time. Yeah, I paid for the tickets. I'll throw down a couple bucks for a beer or whatever else. But I'm here to have a good time, to be with family, with friends, with other people who share the same common interests. That is so far in the rearview mirror of being a sports fan right now.
But even worse than that for me is you have to do that. You have to invest, and it's very expensive. And then you have to hear, well, we can't afford our players. We got to trade Kristaps Porzingis for money reasons. We got to trade Rafi Devers and Mookie Betts for money reasons.
That'll be $20 for a 24-ounce Miller Lite, please.
It's one thing to pay and just enjoy yourself, but you're kind of hit on both ends of the spectrum. It'd be like when I went on my vacation. If I pay through the nose there, and I'm not saying it, and then they tell me, I got bad news for you, sir. We're not making a lot
vacation,
of money.
You want a vacation, Andy?
We actually have to get rid of some of the drinks because we're not making enough money. You're like, you're a business. I paid you a bunch of money. I want to show up now and enjoy myself. We're in sports, this need for us to know what their books look like. Like, why do I need to know your books? Put a damn team on the field that makes me want to show up and pay said $20 for a beer and $8 for a hot dog.
Yeah.
And you keep your business in the back end, right? Like, I don't want to know the rest of that. You're right. Money is too much a part of sports these days. I've actually had this conversation with somebody in PR in the NFL, and they've said this. Like, the NFL years ago told fans, Goodell stood at a press conference and said, our goal is to go from a $12 billion organization like to $30 billion.
Like the fans
why are you telling them that? Yeah. Just entertain them.
That's a good point.
Right? Give them a, like, why do we need to know that it's a business? It's not a business.
Take money from you via YouTube TV, your fantasy league, jerseys that get cheaper by the year, ticket prices that go up all the time, even though it's more fun and more comfortable to stay at home, Ted. Yeah, that's what we'll do as the Philip Morris of sports continues to absolutely just empty your wallets year after year.
Let me throw this out. Just one little thing before we step away for 1 second. I've had my host in the past that I've worked with totally disagree with me on this, but I don't think our salaries should be public information.
I agree.
I don't think you know, ex-Joe fan Joe from Saugus should know what Ted Johnson's salary is playing in the NFL.
I agree.
Yeah, 100%.
And the explanation they give for having them public is, well, players need to know each other's, you know, salary so they can negotiate. Well, it's like, you know what? You can have a secure website where we go to. Still doesn't need to be. And it was also this. People like to play GM, and they think, you know, they're, oh, the salary cap. The Patriots have this amount of salary cap, and so this is how much they can spend on this. And so all of a sudden people become these like GMs. And so that's why money is talked about from a NFL standpoint is the way it was, you know, kind of pushed to me.
And that makes sense. And it's good for us, if we're being honest, as a show. Because if you eliminated the business talk, you eliminate a big chunk of what we talk about 365 days a year.
Imagine just having to talk about 162 Red Sox games
with no
other implications.
Just pitching changes in bullpen.
I'll be honest, it's the last thing that interests me usually for this job is the business side of sports.
Right, but it's very popular with a lot of people because it allows you to be passionate and bitch and like, you cheap owners, you're screwing me. Like, there's definitely a lot of passion there. So I believe for the first time ever, Dan Ball, we're going to have a two-segment, an overflow edition of the three-point stance because the big man said, you're not squeezing me in. I'm getting my time. So up next, the first ever second segment of the three-point stance. And all I can say is, Ted Johnson, you better have something good. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, we are in the midst of our three-point stance, which is presented, as always, by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers. We had Andy Hart bringing up the NBA and its marketing issues. We had Nick Fitzy-Stevens, Free Jacks promotion, got to get down there, got to get your tickets if you haven't already. And those discussions were so engaging that I was told point blank by Ted Johnson, Andy, do not shove Ted Johnson into a corner with the few minutes remaining for the three-point stance. So, Ted, I ask you as we return here on the program, are you ready?
I'm ready, bud.
Well, your 60 seconds, they begin right now.
All right. Thank you, Daniel. Look, yesterday I talked about my three-point, about the C's needing to get younger, more athletic, and just change their style of play. When you look at the two teams in the finals, it's just drastic difference in style, athleticism, and just really – overall philosophy. And if the Celtics aren't going to start changing how they do things, they're going to be in big trouble. That was basically the premise of yesterday. And I talked about the Celtics being one of the older teams in the NBA, and those two teams in the finals, the youngest team to ever win the NBA finals were OKC this year. So they need to get younger. They need to change their philosophy. And so it's been interesting to hear kind of Brad Stevens talk the last couple nights, because a lot of these, he talks about a lot of these different issues. Listen to him talking about just the style of play for the Celtics in that second round series loss to the Knicks, and especially those two games when they had 20-point leads that they blew up. Listen to Brad Stevens' point on that.
You know, I talked about the Knicks series a little bit. I mean, I think it really boils down to those first two games in a lot of ways in my mind. You know, I don't know Jason's injury. You know, who knows what you do if that series is 3-1 you at that time, and do you finish it out or whatever the case, right? Things can go different ways, but I thought the part of those games that stood out to me was more than anything when we got stagnant and we played without pace, and you could just feel it. You could see the walking up. You could see all that. I think we're going to try to address some of that.
Boom. I mean, he says it right there. It stood out. It was so obvious that the pace was stagnant and walking the ball up. Jason Tatum bringing the ball up and basically taking, most of the shot clock away for no one else to kind of get, what they need. It gives defenses a chance to breathe and recover. And so if you look at the two teams, now listen to Brad Stevens talk about the two teams that nobody watched, ratings were down. Listen to what he thought about these NBA finals and what stood out to him about these two teams.
I think if you watch the finals, I think the two teams that deserve to be playing were playing. It wasn't about anything else. The best two teams in the league were playing. They played awesome. They deserved to be there. They outplayed everybody. They played really, really hard the right way. So we were that team last year, and, we'll strive to be that team again.
He just was a big fan of – he goes on to talk about the coaches, but how they push the ball, and they did. I mean, that's – both of those teams really made each other work hard on the defensive side of the ball by the way they pushed it, the way they, moved the ball and passed it. So, to me, that is the Celtics. That's the new brand. That is the new NBA. And hopefully a cut we can play from Scout later where he basically says the new NBA is cutting. That's going to be the new NBA based on what he saw in these NBA finals.
I hope everybody got a chance to enjoy it as a basketball fan, because those Indiana Oklahoma City games were amazing.
I mean, listen to that. Nobody watched. Nobody cared. I mean, they were. If you're a true basketball fan, I don't know how you don't watch those games and get excited about. It's so much better than watching the style of the Celtics. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. The question I would have, and I have thoughts, is that. He has this discussion with us publicly. Will he have this discussion? Does Joe Mazzulla have this discussion? Who has this discussion with Jason Tatum? Because that's the guy that you told us a story about Larry Izzo yesterday. Player only meeting, circling.
Right here.
Right? Is anybody going to sit down and watch some film and be like, put two TVs on and put that series on and then put video of Jason Tatum walking the ball up, getting close to an 8 count every single time before he crosses. Is somebody going to do – that's a tough conversation to have with your superstar player who has played a certain way for a few years now and try to convince him that the best way for him and the Boston Celtics isn't the way that he plays.
But isn't that – so doesn't that go Brad Stevens to Mazzulla to his assistant coaches, the entire coaching staff to all of his players, so you have to do it tier by tier?
I mean – to me, if Brad Stevens wants to have that conversation, because that's a coaching conversation, right? Pace of play. That's a coaching conversation.
Of course.
That's being in one of those little huddles where he's mic'd up. Listen, we're playing too slow. We got to do
I think that's the head coach's overall philosophy on that.
Right. Yeah. So this is a coaching conversation from the president to the media in a way. Maybe he's the one that has to have that conversation. He has the longest He has a longer relationship with Jason Tatum.
He might, Andy. I mean, but they haven't had these conversations, and they won't, because Jason Tatum's, on the he's still recovering from an Achilles, so they're not gonna. It's not something they need to worry about right now. But my guess is, while Jason Tatum's out for most of next year, that Brad wants to kind of show what at the start of summer camp and training camp, and then the start of the season. What a new kind of style looks like.
Love it.
And how much better it will be for this team moving forward.
You have me excited to watch the Boston Celtics this year. Not only my JB thing, but style of play. If they're going to play a little bit more of a frenetic, kind of up-paced, push-the-ball style, I love it. But you only do it for a year? Then you got to blend Tatum back in at some point, because he's still your best player.
I mean, but you also, don't you think kind of the players, even though a lot of us don't think that they'll maybe even be here very long, that they traded for and drafted fit the style that is what I'm talking about, the cutting.
Yep.
And just so people know, people are going to have to get used to this term, sacrificial cuts. This is going to be the new buzzword, cut rate, cut percentage. The Celtics in the playoffs 16 teams ranked dead last in cut percentage, 16 out of 16 in the playoffs. And in the regular season, their cut rate, 26th in the NBA in cut rate. So the ball doesn't move. It just it's stagnant.
Yeah, not surprised.
And so that's what you're seeing.
You know what this reminds me of, Teddy? And you know this because you got a daughter who plays it. This is a little girls lacrosse. Because it's not the first cut that's designed to get – it's the second or third cut that's coming off the first cut that is actually designed to get the ball. But the person making the first cut has to do it with the intention and the intensity that the defense thinks we're being threatened.
It's a great way to put it.
And you need to get, now, I do actually think you're better suited to do that now. No offense to Porzingis or Drew Holiday or those guys.
Without question.
But with Ugo and Anthony Simons, these young guys, Peyton Pritchard, you don't think he'll cut with some intensity?
Yeah. Oh, and Derek White?
JB.
What I'm curious to hear you say is you're suggesting that Jason Tatum would not be open to this approach.
You think I am suggesting that.
Why?
You think there's a possibility?
You don't think his game can transform?
I think it could if Jason Tatum willingly says, you guys looked good. I was doing tricep pushdowns for a full year, and you guys looked good playing that style. I want to play.
You know what? You know what's interesting? You know how I'm not even thinking of? You know who I think this new age NBA stylistic of all the cutting, it does not help at all, is Jaylen Brown. I think Jaylen Brown, it's not just Jason Tatum. Like, I'll be interested to see.
This is how Jaylen Brown wants to play.
I disagree.
Athletic, up tempo, dunking on people.
I think we're missing also a grander point as well, which is what Brad Stevens is doing right now. We may find it to be, I'll stop short of saying revolutionary, but kind of groundbreaking, the idea of like, whoa, he's going to change everything that's worked with these guys. No, he's changing everything about the Celtics right now that he had to financially, but also he's working to assemble a team that'll be edgier, more energetic, scrappy, gritty, all those descriptives we used earlier in the week, Andy, because they're going to have to be in absence of their star player who you sometimes naturally just lean on, and they wouldn't be doing their job. My God, it would almost be like they didn't see a friggin' game this year if they were to say, guys, hey, we won one, injuries got the best of us, let's run it back, third time's the charm. My God, any one of us could have told you from January on, these Celtics were fundamentally flawed on a number of levels. It's time to go back to the Brad Stevens basketball lab and reinvent this excellent team to make them great again.
It's true. Like, it's just, it's not hard. It's no big deal to just change what and Joe Mazzulla is still young. You know, part of me wonders, like, because he leaned into it hard. He was almost like a prophet for it. And you think,
yes,
like this was like his base, bread and butter philosophy on basketball.
That's okay. If Tiger Woods can redo his swing after winning a major, then Joe Mazzulla can reconfigure his coaching philosophy after winning a title. 617-779-7937. We're talking the NBA. We're talking Joe Mazzulla. We're talking about Brad Stevens. What about Joe Mazzulla's contract? Is he a lame duck coach or not? Brad Stevens had some interesting comments yesterday. We'll play those for you up next about Joe Mazzulla's contract here on WEEI Afternoons.
Those discussions in-house. But we've got Joe under contract for multiple years right now. And so we certainly want Joe to be around here for a long time.
Going into the final season, comparing it to Jim Montgomery and what had happened with the Bruins when he didn't have a contract extension. Yeah. And then Brad Stevens just like, we've got him under contract for multiple years. What'd you say? Did you mean to say that?
It was almost as if he was so nonchalant when he's got to know that we all were thinking one thing when it was really something else.
I mean, unless he doesn't know what we don't know and kind of that situation. I don't know. It's very. So did they extend him when he won the title? Is that what they did? They tacked something on?
The way I understand it is that he's got 1 year left and then a team option year. So it's basically
the lame duck year for sure.
Okay. So he's not a lame duck coach, which is good.
He is not.
But the team has flexibility. Those of us that question Joe Mazzulla and might want to watch this, you've talked about Jaylen Brown. This is an interesting year. It's an interesting year for Joe Mazzulla with
without question.
It whatever changes.
It's not perfect for him.
Right. And he is off seeing the world and learning leadership and doing all these things. I saw he's at some big conference, leadership conference thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We haven't talked about this. I've wanted to talk about it. It's a perfect summer kind of story. But just his new friendship with Josh Waitzkin. The chess
problem. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The movie Searching for Bobby Fischer.
Oh, Josh. Josh Baskin? No.
Waitzkin,
that's right. Yep, Searching for Bobby Fischer. Yes, thank you, Tim.
Right. So he...
great movie.
So that it's basically that real-life version of him, and they go down to Costa Rica, and they, it's a little,
We like it?
It's new agey.
Too much?
And you know what? It can't hurt. sure? Well, about that? Actually, you can't.
He's the guy who did it. He's into jujitsu, and he did a jujitsu somersault in the locker room. What if he starts playing chess in the locker room? Yeah. Like, the players could be like, "What the
it's,
f is?"
It's almost, you know, not worry about
chess
leadership.
Over checkers guy.
Don't worry about leadership as much as worry about like not running the same play two times in a row. Like, just
run it again.
But this is
they'll
who
never
he is.
Know.
This they'll is never who expect is. It.
And when we were winning, we all loved it. Like, oh, that's just Joe. We like.
Yeah, don't
I
speak
know,
for
Andy,
me, sir.
I know.
Don't use we when it's thee.
But most of us, I remember in the beginning, it was, oh, this Joe's weird. Joe's weird. His beef with the media. He's trying to be Bill. But then, you know, we started winning, and it kind of turned around, and I think he became beloved. Like, I don't want to see Joe go, personally.
No, well, I mean, we'll see. I know how you are, Stiz. You're very passionate and loyal until you're not, and if he... You know,
he's a because he reminds him of Belichick, Andy. That's why.
Right. And but, you know, the difference
that's
is
his idol, too, by the way.
Yep. Absolutely. But
I've talked to
Eminem and Belichick. What a combo.
Oh, yeah.
Was that a great story or a brag right there?
Yeah, a little humble brag right there.
Who have you talked to?
Story. You know, I have had a relationship with the head coach of the Celtics. Yes.
So are your opinions questionable?
No, I wouldn't.
You're biased.
I told him, look, I can't get too close to you, bro. Because then I got to, like, really, you know, because I got to talk critical.
Did you grab his arm?
I did. I sized up Joe. I knew Joe when he was on the back row.
Did Joe take you?
You know what? He's crazy enough.
He's crazy.
I got to say, that would be a fun sim.
He's nimble, right?
I'd pay to. I think he'd take you.
Yeah. I mean,
I think you have the strength, but I think he has sort of the flexibility and the knowledge.
He does have the flexibility. My core is pretty good right now.
You're feeling good about your core.
Yeah, core is really strong.
Your lower legs don't measure up to somebody else in the studio, but that's a different topic for a different day.
Part of the leg, the calf muscle.
I said lower leg.
What are we
doing? Okay, you did.
What are we doing?
But please. Is it a good thing just in, like, I made the joke the day the Knicks fired Tom Thibodeau. I was like,
yeah, how are they doing on like
Celtics? Terrible. You know who they should call? Tom Thibodeau. And just say, I'm sorry, we made a terrible mistake. Like, we shouldn't have broken up. It happens in, like, romance relationships.
Why can't have,
like, yeah, just outside the window with the boombox on top of your head.
Please.
Yeah,
I've made a terrible mistake. But
right.
When he was fired, I was like, I'm not sure if he might not be a better coach than Joe Mazzulla. I think there's a lot of reason to compare. Is that fair? Or is Joe Mazzulla, like, Brad Stevens feels like he's all in on Joe Mazzulla. Like, there is a long-term
without that question. He's not going anywhere.
Do you have that same feeling?
Yeah.
Can I tell you after the end of this upcoming year? I think this upcoming year is going to tell me a lot.
It will, but how do you feel right now?
You know, here's the thing. He won in his first 3 years. He's won, you know, the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
It's going to carry some weight with me. So he's going to get a longer leash. I'm trying to think of Spoelstra. Like, did Eric have instant success when he was, out down there?
Did he?
And he was one of the
2 years.
He started almost the same age that Joe did, being the head coach here. So I almost think there's a feeling that we're all going to go through and take, like, where Gerard Mayo, we didn't have the patience to, like, let him figure out on the job how to learn how to be a head coach. Just like, no, dude, we saw what we needed to see and we moved on. Joe is going to get more leverage and more, you know, kind of, I think, benefit of the doubt.
Dan Ball, you have Eric Spoelstra's career?
Yeah, he made the playoffs in each of the first 6 years that he coached the Heat. Two losses in the first round, then finals loss, finals win, finals win, finals loss. Damn. And I'll give you one guess what happened when they started going to the finals.
LeBron James came?
That's correct.
Craziest but thing.
The difference / comparison, you brought up Mayo, and the comparison with Miami, I think, is apt, is that standing behind Spoelstra was Pat Riley. Like, literally and figuratively, like...
Same thing.
And you have that here. If Bill Belichick had been standing behind Gerard Mayo...
You don't stand behind...
No, I know, but I'm just saying, if the aged guy had just bumped upstairs and was, like, arms crossed behind him every time he talked, doesn't that carry weight? That helps the guy, that emboldens him, gives him cachet.
If we all think... If Brad has an 86 approval rating... Then that means if he believes in the head coach, then the head coach is going to get the benefit of the doubt from the fans if they think that highly of Brad Stevens.
Right. So we'll see. I do think Brad, Joe Mazzulla is more popular with his boss than he is with the fans.
Maybe.
And with us, maybe.
Maybe.
And that's really the one that matters, right? It's probably the same thing with Alex Cora these days. There's a lot of fans. We take calls, texts, Twitch chat, people that want to run Cora out of town.
Yeah.
okay, that's great. But if his bosses and the people that he works with think he's the best manager for the job, yeah, those are the two or three people that that really matter. 617-779-7937. We see you lining up, talking a little NBA basketball, Celtics. We've touched on a lot of things this afternoon, and there's a lot we need to get to. And one of them is a comparison game. We got to get a little football in, and it's not Jordan yet. We'll get Jordan for Ted later because Jordan.
I haven't heard the story.
Oh, Jordan's in a feud with Linda. It's good. Oh, it's good stuff. It involves emails and relationships
back
and gold
better
digging
than ever.
So we'll get to that later. But up next, we have some interesting comparisons for Drake May. Somebody who he's compared to is talking favorably about him. But we also have some audio of guys talking about other quarterbacks they would have wanted for the New England Patriots if they didn't have Tom Brady. So some Patriots quarterback talk with WEEI Afternoons up next.
Afternoons with Hart, Bitsy, and Johnson on WEEI.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday.